This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor in southern New England, Indian summer. We go to Jeremy Zachas, New South Wales, in springtime. And the magpies. You will all recall that Jeremy Zachas' spoodle, Dallas, has either been adopted by a magpie family in the backyard or has adopted one. All the other birds followed except the cockatoo. That was over these last months. However, it's magpie breeding season in Australia, and apparently, like a Star Trek episode I remember from many years ago, there's an agreed-upon time every year for magpies to go insane and attack human beings and cars and bicycles and anything that moves if they perceive it as coming near their nest. Jeremy, I hesitate to ask, is Dallas okay? Everything agreed in the backyard, and are the magpies attacking the neighborhood in general?
Well, John, I can happily say that Dallas is very, very safe. The magpies that we have at the moment haven't gone crazy. Say they're acting very, very even keeled. They're very, very friendly still. And I think really Dallas has made such good friends with them, and we have such a good relationship with the Maggies. We're not expecting any harm to come to us. However, I must say, only maybe less than a block away, there are magpies that are absolutely going crazy. In fact, it was almost, as you said, to the date, it was just after the 1st of October. Suddenly I noticed on the walks that there were a few really agitated magpies. And then within maybe the first one or two days, up on Facebook, up on Instagram, up on all the social media, there were reports of magpies starting to swoop cyclists. And when I say starting to swoop cyclists, they are swooping cyclists like nothing else. In fact, every single day now, the magpies in this neighborhood and pretty much right across the eastern seaboard, they are going to absolute town on the cyclists. And the reason is it because it is breeding season right now. The magpies are starting to make their nests. The mother magpies are having their eggs, having their babies. And basically, they're becoming very protective. But honestly, John, it is absolute... It's probably the worst magpie season I think I've seen for a very long time, because for whatever reason this year, and it might be because we have a little bit warmer temperatures, so the magpies are really out and quite active, but there are reports of people being not only swooped by magpies, but actually attacked by magpies, where the magpie will actually land on a person's head and start basically tapping at them. And normally it's either somebody that's jogging or a cyclist, because fast-moving people are seen as a threat to magpies because the magpie thinks it's trying to steal, or we're trying to steal their eggs. But there was actually one case where a magpie attacked a cyclist here in Sydney, landed on his shoulder and actually grabbed his earbuds out of his ears and flew off with them. So these magpies are very, very aggressive. They're very, very, I guess you could say, offensive in some ways, and that they're showing a lot of courage. But I tell you, John, it's incredible. This magpie season has been nothing like I've ever seen before. And I know it's a little bit different because if you have a look at the national media, there's more, I guess you could say, public service announcements about what to do if you get swooped by a magpie, probably than I've ever seen in any other years. So, John, honestly, the warning right now is, I mean, definitely look down, watch out for the snakes, but you've got to look up as well because there are air attacks all around, and it is due to our magpie population.
How do they travel, in packs or singularly? And what attacks, the males or the females or both?
Typically, it's the males that attack, and it's really in singular, because what happens is the family of magpies will set up in a tree somewhere or somewhere at high, so sometimes a building ledge if it's in the city. And while the female stays at home, I guess you could say, looking after the eggs and looking after the young ones as they grow, it's the male that goes out on air patrol, literally on air patrol. If you see a male magpie around this time of year that has a family, they'll actually be doing basically orbits around their area, really watching out for people on the ground or for predators that are going to come in and attack. And if they see someone, they're already in the air, ready to go and strike. So they're very, very strategic. Or you'll tend to see them probably a good 10 to 15 feet away from the main nest, standing there, but they have kind of a stance and kind of an aggressive look in their eye. And what they're doing is they're basically trying to draw predators towards them. So they're trying to make themselves really known to the area and get them away from the nest. And then sure enough, if they do see a predator, that's when they launch an act. So it's very much, I guess you could say, a family unit affair. So the male will go out and conduct the actual attacks and the swoops. But it's very, very interesting and very strategic. And it's, I guess, probably the most unique thing about the magpies, because this is a very discernible behavior that they do at almost exactly this time of year every year that you can count on. So it's incredible to watch. But at the same time, too, not all magpies do it. The magpies that we have in the backyard, the magpies that Dallas has, I guess, in some ways cultivated, they do have a young somewhere. We can actually hear the young baby magpie up in one of the pine trees, but they're not swooping. They're very comfortable with this area. They know that we are not going to be coming and taking their eggs. So it depends on where the magpie is and what the magpie perceives as an actual threat. It's very, very interesting to watch. It's very fun to watch if you're not being swooped, but it just shows the magpies are incredibly smart creatures.
Not to leave out the reptiles, the black belly, the red-bellied black snakes, the eastern browns, the great eastern browns. We observed over the winter that you were having mild enough temperatures for breeding season to start early. Is it around you now, or the results of breeding season around you?
Unfortunately, John, yes, yes, they are. In fact, we have had nothing but a snake story after snake story in our national media across the week. In fact, the one that really, I guess, came to prominence was a red-bellied black snake here in Sydney that was actually found in a child's dollhouse. So it was approximately 1.5 meters long, and it was an absolute beast. And the snake catcher himself actually noted that this snake was probably one of the biggest ones that he's actually seen of the red-bellied type in southern Sydney before. So what we think happened is that because the breeding season did begin a bit earlier, and because we've had a few years of effectively mice populations booming, and we've had a lot of, I guess you could say, food for snakes on the ground, the snakes that have bred earlier and the snakes that have been breeding in more earnest than ever before are actually also growing a lot bigger because there's a lot more food out there. And the fact that they're actually in the urban areas is no surprise, especially here in Sydney, because with the overpopulation in the bushland areas, snakes have to go somewhere else because they are very territorial. So only a few snakes will live within a fairly short radius. So they have to actually find new homes, which means they have come into the suburbs. So the fact that we actually found a red-bellied black snake in a doll's house in southern Sydney, as horrific as it is, it shouldn't actually be surprising. But I can tell you, John, every single day now on social media, there is at least a snake being found somewhere in a house here in Sydney or up in Queensland or definitely down in Victoria. It is just absolutely incredible to see that we're in October now and we're getting so many snakes. So unfortunately, I think the summer is going to be a summer full of snakes. I can tell you, I haven't found one yet on my property, but I've been keeping the lawn so low. I've got rid of every single low underbrush I could in my garden. So I'm just preparing for that day when we see either a brown snake or a tiger snake. And I've told my daughter, Chelsea, don't touch it. But I think we're going to find one, and I'll probably end up having a snake story of my own this summer.
Jeremy, you tell me that 5 years old is not too early to lecture children or to present to children what to do around snakes. Where is that? Where do they make that presentation?
Yes, that's right. Actually, my daughter's the birthday party she went to yesterday was held at a local reptile zoo. And as part of the birthday, they have all the cake and all the food, but they basically give a show where they bring out some lizards and they bring out some pythons, so it's some very, very non-venomous snakes. But what they do as part of the whole presentation, as part of introducing children to the snakes, they show that snakes, if you're very calm around them, won't actually do anything dangerous, won't come and attack them. But then what they do with the presentation, they then talk about brown snakes and red-bellied black snakes and explain to the children that if they see a snake out in the wild and not part of a show like that or with a snake handler, they must stop still, they must act like a statue. So one, not panic the snake, because snakes become very aggressive when they're panicked, and that's when most people get bitten. And then they're taught to basically back away and come tell an adult. So the show's great fun. You get to pat the reptiles, you get to play with the snakes, but it also has a very serious side. And as five-year-olds, my daughter on the way home was talking about the tiger snake we had earlier this year and how, you know, if she saw it again, she would be a statue and back away slowly. So the message starts very, very early here in Australia. I remember even when I went through school some 40 years ago now, I had the same education. We were always taught about snake safety very, very early on. It's just now they actually bring it into kids' parties because kids' parties are also happening at the reptile zoo. So it's wonderful to watch. It's great to see the kids to look at the snakes, and then they get to go and see the really dangerous snakes behind the glass, so they actually get to see brown snakes live and tiger snakes live, but luckily well and truly protected behind the glass there. But it's part of the education that all the kids in Australia get. And hopefully it's something that, will probably save a lot of them.
It's ashes time, getting ready. When we come back, Jeremy Zakas, New South Wales, with the magpies insane and the snakes abundant. But we're going to trash-talking the other team before the November kickoff, contest between England and Australia that comes every 18 months and is critical to understand if you're going to go to Australia. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. All right, make a file there.